This week's Parsha is Parsha's Yisro, and the shiur today is on respecting your in-laws. We learn out from this Parsha a makor, a source, for the chiyuv, perhaps, to respect your in-laws. And it starts with Shemos, Perek Yerches, Pasuk Zayin, Vayitzei Moshe likras chos no, vayishtachu, vayishaklo, vayishalu, ish l'ra'ehu l'shalom, vayavo ha'o'ala. So Moshe went out to greet his father-in-law, and he bowed down and kissed him. And each person asked each other how they were doing, and then they went to the Yoel. And Rashi explains in source number 2, Vayitzei Moshe, Kavod Gadol Neskaved Yisro Be'oso Sha'a. It was a very big honor that Moshe did for Yisro in that moment. Kevan Shiyatza Moshe, Yatza Aaron Nadav Avihu. As Moshe, when Moshe went out, so did Aaron Nadav and Avihu to greet Yisro. Umishahu Ra, Es Elav Yotzim Lo Yatza. And anybody who saw Moshe, Aaron, Nadav, and Avihu going out, of course, they're going to go out as well. So basically, all of Klal Yisrael went out to greet Yisro. So the question is, why? Why was it important that Moshe demonstrate this level of respect for Yisro? And then it says in number 2, at the end of Rashi, Vayishtachu Vayishaklo, Eini Yodea Miyishtachu Velami, Kishihu Omer Ish L'Rehu Miyakaro Ish Ze Moshe. It's not clear from the Psukim who's bowing down to who and who's really greeting the other. Ish is a reference to Moshe, and it says Vayishalu Ish L'Rehu L'Shalom, and the interpretation is that Moshe was really acting towards Yisro, was bowing down towards Yisro, and really initiating the respect, the kavod. The question again is why? Why was it necessary that Moshe do this great, or give this great honor to his father-in-law Yisro? The Ibn Ezra explains in number 3, Vayitzei Moshe likras chos no, bavur kvod chachmaso. The reason why Moshe went out had nothing to do with the fact that he was his father-in-law, but rather Moshe recognized his wisdom, that he was a wise man. So it's funny, the Ibn Ezra says that Moshe wouldn't have done the same just for his wife and his children. Obviously, there's a little time difference there, because nowadays, I think even an Adam Nichbad would be excited to see his wife and his children if they haven't seen them in a long time. But in that time, it was unusual. So why did he go out? The reason is to demonstrate respect for the fact that Yisro had this tremendous wisdom. And the question is, where do we see that Yisro had tremendous wisdom, and can we understand his wisdom to the point where Moshe decided and realized that it was important to demonstrate kavod towards him? So there's an interesting Gemara in Zvachim quoted by the Torah Tzmimah, which I'm going to read from the Torah Tzmimah in source number 4. The question is, why was Yisro drawn towards going to Klal Yisrael? And perhaps we can see from there some of the aspects of his chachma, of his wisdom, if we understand what drew him in to be Misgayer and become part of Klal Yisrael. So, Mashmua Shama above Misgayer. So, what Shmua, what did he hear that caused him to be Misgayer? This is Yisro. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Melchemes Amalek Shama. So, one opinion Rabbi Yeshua holds that he heard about the whole war with Amalek. Sharei k'stiv b'tzido v'yachalosh Yoshua's Amalek v'samu l'ficharev. Because right before this incident, there was the whole story in the Torah of the war between Amalek and Klal Yisrael and how Yoshua had defeated them with Moshe and his hands raised up. Rav Elazar Amodai Omer, Matan Torah Shama Uba. According to Rav Elazar, this is after Matan Torah, even though the chronology in the Torah is different. And he heard about it. And he kishenasna Torah la'amo Yisrael yakolo holech misofa ha'olam atzofo. And when the Torah was given to the Jews, the kol, the realization of the Torah being given, was known to everyone. Rav Eliezer ben Yaakov omer kriyas yamsuf shama uba. And Rav Eliezer ben Yaakov says that he heard kriyas yamsuf shenemar vayhi kishmoa kol malchei ha'emori eis asher hovish Hashem es meher yarden. So there are three opinions. I don't think it's a machlokas that they're really mutually exclusive, but there are three opinions as to what drew Yisro in. One opinion is Amalek, the second opinion is Matan Torah, and the last opinion is Kriyas Yamsuf. But from these examples, it doesn't seem to indicate a tremendous chachma on the part of Yisro. Perhaps it seems like he was just drawn in by the miraculous nature of these events, and not really by any other aspect of these events. So he simply heard of a miracle, and it really enticed him to become Jewish. However, there's an interesting Rashi that I think says the opposite, or gives us some insight as to what Yisro was thinking. If you look at number 5, it's Shemos Yudchas, Perakit Aleph. The pasuk says, Ata yadati ki gadol Hashem mikol Elokim ki vadavar asher zadu alehem. Yisro pronounces that now he knows that Hashem is the greatest of all gods because of that which they attempted to do to Klal Yisrael, meaning the Mitzrayim. So what is that a reference to? What does that mean? So first of all, Rashi says, Ata yadati makiru hayisi l'sha'avar v'akshav v'yoser. So one idea is that Yisro knew about Hashem, but now he really recognized the truth of Hashem. Mikol Elokim, magid shayam makir b'chol avodah zarah sheba'olam, shlo hiniach avodah zarah shlo avda. And we also see that Yisro was an investigator of religions, philosopher, because he involved himself in all the avodah zarahs that existed in the world. So that is an aspect of his wisdom, that he was searching for some type of truth when it came to religion. And in fact, if you go back to the story of Moshe, it says that one of the reasons why he sent his daughters, Yisro sent his daughters to be shepherds, is because he was put in Nidoy. Rashi explains over there, the reason why he was in Nidoy is because he was Poresh from Avodah Zarah. So that is an aspect of his wisdom, that Yisro was able to, A, investigate all the other religions, and realize that Avodah Zarah was nonsense, and that it wasn't worthwhile to be involved in. And he came to an idea of God. That's great, but what about these three examples in the Gemara indicates some type of wisdom on his part? Perhaps he was just drawn in because of the miraculous nature of these events. So there's a Rashi that kind of opens up the area. Rashi says on that same pasuk, ki badavar sher zaduk targumo. So he says it's like the targum, b'mayim damu la'avdam v'heim avdu b'mayim. The explanation is that the Mitzrayim tried to destroy the Jews with water because they wanted to throw out all the babies, the male babies, into the Nile. And so too, when they were judged and they were destroyed, it was through water, through Yamsuf. We see from Rashi something unique, which is that it wasn't Kriyas Yamsuf and the miraculous nature of it that really drew Yisro in, but it sounds like Rashi is saying that Yisro understood the concept of Mida Keneged Mida from Kriyas Yamsuf. He understood the idea that really it was perfect justice for the Mitzrayim to be destroyed by water, just like they attempted to destroy the Jewish people. And that is one aspect of his Chachma, but now we can use that insight that Rashi is giving to explain the other examples. See, it wasn't Kriyas Yamsuf per se, but it was the concept of Mida Keneged Mida, and that really demonstrates a certain Chachma, that he recognized the justice in the idea, in the concept of the miracle. And same thing perhaps with the other two as well. Maybe perhaps the idea by Amalek is that's the concept of why was Amalek defeated. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, it wasn't the Yadav Shel Moshe, it wasn't his hands that caused the, if you remember the story, whenever Moshe's hands were upward, then the Jews were successful, but when they were down, they were unsuccessful. And the Gemara says over there, V'chi Yadav Shel Moshe Osos Milchama Oshov Ros Milchama, were Moshe's hands really the essence? Really, it was an idea of the Jews putting themselves in a certain state relative to Hashem and being mishabed themselves to Hashem, really becoming servants to Hashem. And when they looked at Moshe, who was in a state of tefillah, they were able to, or capable of being inspired to really be in that state before Hashem. So perhaps that's the idea that Yisro recognized, that uniqueness that doesn't exist in Avodah Zarah, the concept of being in or before Hashem in tefillah, and how being in that state is really beneficial to man. And that's really not an idea in Avodah Zarah. Mostly in Avodah Zarah, it's an idea in appeasement. But here it's the opposite. It's about recognizing your nothingness relative to Hashem. And that's the opposite of all Avodah Zarahs. So maybe that was the idea he recognized. The Matan Torah, you could say, was a unique event. Nothing like it ever happened. It wasn't the miraculous nature of it, but it was the mass nature of it. It was the idea that no other event of revelation had occurred to that scale and to that degree. So that's how we see the Chachma of Yisro. He wasn't just motivated by the miraculous nature, but he understood the idea, the concept of the miracles and what they were trying to teach and how that was different from the whole nature of Avodah Zarah that he was involved in prior to this. Also, we see another aspect to Yisro's Chachma later on in Baal Uscha. In Baal Uscha, Moshe begs Yisro to stay. In Bamidbar Yud, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Vayomer al nat hazov osanu, ki al ken yadata chanosinu bamidbar, v'ha'isa lanu le'inayim. Moshe says to him, don't leave us because you understand and you've seen all the miracles that occurred to the Jewish people and everything and all the good from Hashem, and you'll be for us as eyes. So what does that mean? You'll be for us as eyes. So there's another aspect to his wisdom. Look at Rashi says, Lashon Asid, Davar Acher Lashon Asid. There's one interpretation of Rashi where he says it's referring to the future. Ki kol davar davar shis alim me'inenu, tihi meyer einenu. Anything that we're missing insight into, you'll be meyer to us. You'll open it up to us. You'll show us the insight. And we see in this week's Parsha that Yisro was particularly great at providing insight. We see by Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe wasn't aware of the idea, the concept, that it would be better to set up a system of justice as opposed to him being the only judge. And for us, reading the Torah, it seems like an obvious idea, but perhaps the concept is that Yisro came from an outside perspective. He came from an outside standpoint, a vantage point that none of Klal Yisrael really had or were capable of having because they're entrenched in the system. And in that sense, that's also a chachma that Yisro possessed that none of Klal Yisrael really had, which is the ability to approach different problems and issues from an outsider perspective, from having a more worldly view, a different perspective, a different vantage point than the rest of Klal Yisrael. So those are the aspects of wisdom that Moshe recognized. He recognized that Yisro came and he was well-versed in Avodah Zarah, that he was driven to believing in Hashem out of a genuine conceptual knowledge of what was going on with Klal Yisrael, and that he was insightful based on his own outsider experience. And Moshe had lived with Yisro, so he understood that about him, and he knew his personality and his wisdom. So that is one aspect of Vayetze Moshe Lekras Chosno. However, the Torah Tumima quotes a Mechilta, and the Mechilta says, Eini yodea mi shtachaveh lemi, umi nashak lemi, kishu omer vayishalu ish l'reihu, mi karu ish Moshe, shnemar vayish Moshe, havi omer Moshe ishtachaveh v'nashak l'chamav, mikan amru shiye adam muchan l'chavod chamav. We see from here that Moshe really bowed down, and he was the one who kissed his father-in-law, and from here we learn that a person has to be prepared and ready to give honor to their father-in-law. And this is a source that the Gra brings down on the Shulchan Aruch, the Biurei Agra, for the concept of why it's a chiyuv to show respect for your father-in-law. The Shulchan Aruch brings it down la'alacha, and the Taz quotes a different source, Chayav Adam L'Chavid Chamiv. The Shulchan Aruch says that a person is chayav to respect his father-in-law. L'Chavid Chamiv, the Taz says, D'chsev Avi Ra'o R'gam Ra'o V'David Amar L'Sha'o Kein Shayach Chamiv V'Karu Avi. So he learns it out, the Taz, from the fact that David refers to Shaul as Avi, my father. And that shows or demonstrates a certain respect because Shaul was his father-in-law, not his father. So this is also a good proof that if your in-laws want you to call them father, mom, and dad, or dad and mom, that really you should, based on the idea of David calling Shaul father, my father. And the Pesachei Tshuva, so the Pesachei Tshuva also extends this to Chamoso, and he includes Chamoso. So it's not just your father-in-law, according to this. And the Shach gives a reason. He says the reason is, on the Yoredea and Resh Mem Chaf Dalet, Chayv Adam, Kasav Abach, Dahainu, Shesamchu Mikhtos L'Chavod, V'Chayv L'Chavdo, Kemo Shar Zekenim Chashuvim. The Shach says, the reason that you're Chayv to give respect to your in-laws is because of the idea of Zekenos, of experience. And there's a general principle in the Torah of that really, you're supposed to show respect for people who have experience, who are older. Same thing, that's why at a wedding, although it should always be like this, but at a wedding, people stand up when the elderly grandparents walk down the aisle, but you should also stand up in general when you're not at a wedding for elderly people. So too, your in-laws. Your in-laws should be respected as zakenim, as people who've had more experience than you, and you should recognize their experience and respect them for that. So that's one approach to why you're chayev, that really fits under the Daraisa system of Mipnei Seva Takum. The Rambam, however, gives a different opinion. He doesn't mention outright the chayev to be mechabed in your in-laws, but he does have it in one halacha. The Rambam in Avel, Parak Beis Lachahei, says, Ishto anisua afa pishu misabel lea inu misabel ima al shal krovim el avia val ima mishum kvod ishto noeg avilus alehen b'faneha. If your wife's relatives die, you're not chayav to b'mis abel to mourn for them. However, if her mother or father die, then in front of her, you're chayav to b'mis abel. Only if her mother and father die, ketzad, mishem es chamev o chamoso, kofim mitaso, v'no agavelos im ishto b'faneha. How so? If a woman's, if your father-in-law or mother-in-law die, then you're chayav in front of her to be no agavelos and to put, they used to turn over the beds. Aval lo shelo b'fanav, but if you're not in front of her, you're not. You don't have to be noeg avelos. It's not intrinsic avelos because they're not really your father and your mother. V'china isha shemeis chamiya chamosa noheges avelos b'fanav. And so to the opposite, that your wife is supposed to be noeg avelos in front of you if your parents die. Aval shar krovim gon shemeis achi ishto b'nav v'ish shemeis achi baila obeno ein mesalim zalze. Any other relatives, there is no idea like this. So there's a uniqueness to the concept of being mesavel for your in-laws, different than any other relative of your wife. But the Rambam states the reason for that is kvod ishto, and vice versa, the wife is supposed to demonstrate respect for you by being misalo for your parents in front of you. The Rambam seems to contend that the whole idea of, or the special unique relationship and kavod that you demonstrate for your in-laws stems from the kavod for your wife or your husband, from your spouse. It's not zakenim, but rather it's an idea in showing kavod to your loved one, to your spouse. So that is a machlokes between, it seems like, between the Sha'ach and the Rambam as to what the source is in the Torah, what's the Deoraisa source for the concept of being mischabed, of demonstrating honor for your in-laws. Is it because they're considered zakenim, or is it out of respect for your wife or your husband, if you're, you know, from a wife to a husband? But either way, the concept seems to be that there is some difference between how you relate to your father-in-law and mother-in-law and the rest of the world. There's one more point I just want to end the shir off with. In the beginning of the parsha, again, that same pasuk, it says, "Vayete Moshe lekras chosno, vayishtachu, vayishaklo, vayishalu ish l're'ehu l'shalom, vayavo ha'o'ala." So what's interesting is the Tirgum. The Tirgum says, "Unefak Moshe lekad muschamuhi, uskeid v'nashek le, ush'ilu gvar l'chavrei, l'shlam v'olu l'mashkina." What's interesting is that the uncle is mitargim re'ehu as chavrei, as your friend, and similar to an idea that I had a couple weeks ago on the Mitzrayim being related to as friends, so too you see the same concept, or you see the same word, re'ehu, being used by your father-in-law, by Moshe's father-in-law. So why is that used here? What's the concept of friendship? It seems like perhaps there's a unique relationship between a son-in-law and a father-in-law, and also a mother-in-law, in the sense that the son-in-law doesn't have the same anger or any sense of really discipline or reprimand that exists by his own parents. And his own parents would never be considered chavrei, would never be considered a type of friend. But when it comes to your in-laws, you don't have the same relationship of discipline, of reprimand, and it's more of a friendship. There's a friendship aspect to it that doesn't exist with your own parents. So your in-laws are unique in the sense that they provide they're a role model, and they're also a father and mother figure, or it doesn't include the aspects of the father and mother of reprimand and discipline. Rather, there's more of a friendship that exists between you and your in-laws that can exist between you and your parents based on the Torah system and what the Torah demands of you, which is to demonstrate a certain level of yira and respect for your parents. And that, I think, is unique, and that's expressed in the way in which Moshe demonstrated his affection for his father-in-law, Yisro. So that is the end of this year, and I hope everybody has a great Shabbos and enjoy the Sedra this week.